The firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Meringue.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
That's right. Hour number three here, the firm of Harris and Meringue. We do this every single day, 10 to noon, 10 to 1, excuse me. So if you're just joining us, that's the new time frame. We ditched the noon to 3. We're now 10 to noon.
Yeah, you had a whole week of noon to 3.
Yeah, I know, dude. This has been hard for me. The transition's been a little difficult for me, but we're starting to figure it out. We'll have bonus hour of happy hour with Luke Anderson coming up at 1 o'clock. He'll do 1 and 2 o'clock. And then the primetime boys slide right in from 3 to 7. I'll be guest bartending tonight at Bridgetown Beer House. Come on down. Check that out if you're interested in that. But if you're missing the first hour, we kind of talked to Michigan as it's their turn today to be on the podium. And I'll go see what... I'll go see what Moore has to say after the show and maybe if there's anything we can react tomorrow. But I'm just curious what he's going to say. USC is a lot more fascinating to me than Michigan. I think they're both kind of in the where is this going to go this season for very different reasons. And I think Moore gets a little more, I would even say a little more lax because he's a Harbaugh guy that helped win a natty. And Lincoln Riley is going to take the pressure because he was the high-profile guy out of Oklahoma, a couple Heisman trophies there, and kind of quarterback whisperer and guru, the biggest splash hiring at USC, maybe in the history of their coaches. Because remember when Pete got the USC job?
Pete was on a rebound.
He was on a rebound. Yeah, he looked like a flamed-out NFL guy. Look how that turned out.
Worked out pretty well for
Pete. But Lincoln Riley is the biggest hyped coach, at least of my lifetime, at USC, and it's been a rough 3 years. This is year four, right?
Yeah, you know, the first year was good.
First year was fine.
First year was good.
The
last 2 years have been a dumpster fire, and it's to the point where people are like, if he doesn't win 9 games, he's going to get fired. I'm like, no, as long as he wins 8, he won't get fired because of the momentum they have on the recruiting trail. If you're listening this morning to Dirt and Sprague, they had Ryan Abraham on.
Great listen. Go back and check that out.
USC is the number one recruiting class in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nothing. So the momentum there, mentioning the thing that Nemec always talks about, having momentum.
Can I say something real quick on that? It's about time.
Yes.
It's about time.
Because you're USC. You have no reason not be that.
Ryan Abraham said it best. Like, when Riley got there, there was an NIL mess.
Disaster.
Of the blue bloods that we talked about, USC is the last one to finally come to the table of the blue bloods with the money to spend. And now they've got it.
There's 3 different collectives that were just fighting over everything, and that's where you get the Bear Alexander of it all, Branch leaving, Deuce Robinson leaving, this is the stupidity of it all. And it was just like, okay. And this is the thing, this is why I will give Oregon all the props, is that their collective, their NIL, the infrastructure, Lanning and his coaching staff, the entire infrastructure all works like a machine. The gears all match. USC is just now getting the gears to match so that it flows the right way. And the two biggest parts of that outside of Lincoln Riley, Jen Cohen coming down from UW.
Huge hire.
And then Bowden coming over, stealing Notre Dame's GM. By the way, Bowden's the one who just built a team that went to the national title last year off the strength of recruiting.
And had a good showing. For all the flack we throw.
They couldn't throw the ball, but they were very good.
For all the flack we throw Notre Dame over the years, Notre Dame kind of... first of all, I love Freeman. If you don't love Freeman, I don't know what's wrong with you.
He's a great coach.
But for the first time in a long time, Notre Dame gets propped up big time as, one of the big players that hasn't done anything since Lou Holtz in the 80s. So for them to go through into the playoff last year and actually make a statement, make a run to the natty, that makes Bowden a great hire for USC. I think, are you willing to 100% say that if Lincoln Riley only wins 8 games, he'll stay?
Yeah.
They'll give him one more
year? They'll give him one more because it's... Because
I worry sometimes that USC lives in that, to go way off the beaten, lives in kind of that Man United world where it's like, if we don't get it right now, we'll just axe you.
No, because number one, I don't think the landscape of college football is you're going to axe $15 million a year head coach.
I was about to say, what's the buyout on Lincoln Riley?
You're not doing that in this landscape anymore. It doesn't matter who you are. You're just, if you're paying a coach that much money, unless there's only a year left, you're just not doing it. Beyond that, I'm not happy about 8 wins. Don't get it twisted. Like, it's not a quote unquote acceptable.
I would be very happy if Washington State won 8 games this year.
But like, we went through the schedule. And you counted. Yeah.
We'll go through it right now.
Go through it right now.
That's why there's a lot. Obviously, the top end of the Big Ten is must watch. You know, I want to see if James Franklin can win a big game at Penn State. I want to see what Ohio State does off the legs of a national championship. Does Ryan Day breathe, or does Ryan Day try to really, really go for it? And it's Oregon, you know, Oregon again. Can they repeat? Will they make the playoff, et cetera, new quarterback and stuff like that? But USC is kind of the S or get off the pot sort of situation. We'll run through the schedule real quick. I'm on their website. It says 11-time national champions at the top. Like, you can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, Michigan State. 4-0.
You should start out 4-0.
I'll pencil you in 4-0. It is, let's see, got to go to West Lafayette for Purdue.
Yeah.
But you're back home Purdue for Michigan State.
Purdue has 54 transfers. They lead.
Who does?
Purdue. They lead the country.
Over under 4.5, right?
It's
3.5?
Yeah, it's tough.
Ooh, yikes. Michigan State at home. Then you start to get into it.
Yep.
Then you really get into it.
You go to Champaign, you go to Illinois, and that's going to be your first test. Bielma and the Illini are going to be a tough team. If you win that game and you start out 5-0, now you're like, okay, now there's momentum. Because then you take on Michigan.
You could sit here and argue that coming out of Illinois, win or lose, you will have an impression of USC.
Yes. Because Illinois should be a above average team.
Man, it is so brutal to think that at the end of September, that will create the narrative of your team.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, this
for a big boy.
This is the stretch: Illinois, Michigan at home, travel to Notre Dame, travel to Nebraska. That's a tough stretch.
That's a tough stretch. You only got one home game, the Michigan game, which I probably like you the best in.
It's going to be tough.
Of all four of those games.
Well, it's going to be tough.
I mean, Nebraska's just on the
road. Notre Dame game's on my birthday, so it has a potential to really, really, really.
You should go to South Bend, dude.
No. If I go to that game, it'll be at home. I don't want to go to South Bend in October.
Why not?
I'm good. The chance,
oh, come on.
The chance of craptacular weather is quite high. But Notre Dame at USC, if they're playing on my birthday, I'd be like, hey, guys, I might not be here on Monday. I'd take that trip especially if I knew USC was going to be favored.
Those should always be night games. They should always be night games because I just think of Reggie pushing Matt Leinart at night.
Well, I mean that Notre Dame game is 4:30 local, so it's a 7:30 kick. It's the night game.
Yeah, but it'll still be daytime. Hopefully, it's nighttime by the time it ends.
I mean, October.
Is that 4:30 our time? No, yeah. It's 4:30 their time.
Is it their time? Is it local kick? I thought it was all PSTs.
I don't know, dude. I'm looking at. I don't trust the PSTs anymore.
Yeah, just because of the Big Ten schedule.
I don't trust the Big Ten. That's telling me what it looks like. I just don't do it. Either way, Notre Dame, Nebraska. Then you get a little reprieve in Northwestern. You get them at home. I mean, but there's a lot of home away. Away, home, away, home. There's not a big stretch there.
No, what sucks for USC is that you after that Northwestern game, you get Iowa at home.
Which is a make or break on my bet on Iowa.
Yeah, but for that, it's going to be a physical game. It's like, we talk about when Harbaugh was at Stanford, no matter what happened, you're going to come into that game not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get physically, you're going to get crap kicked
out. It just
out
hurts.
Of you.
And you're at Iowa.
No, Iowa's at home.
Oh, my bad.
Iowa's at home, but the problem is the next week you go to Oregon. And it's like, yes, you're coming off an Iowa game where you're going to get beat to hell no matter what happens, and then you travel to Eugene.
Where Danny is going to attend the game.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything. I'm sure we'll probably do what we did.
Dude, if SC's undefeated right here, that's game day.
Oh, yeah.
That's game day.
Oh, you're out of your mind if you don't think it is.
That's game day. That'd be a big week here on the fan.
Yeah, no, Oregon, USC, if they both go into that game undefeated, oh, my God.
Yeah, then you close up with UCLA. Thanks. Is it nice to have a rival that is just lost in no man's land?
Whatever. I haven't cared about UCLA.
I mean, I guess your rival is Notre Dame.
I mean, UCLA.
Although the Ducks are going to try to make you a rival,
yeah.
Because they're talking so much.
Well, I mean,
S.
We got to win when it matters. Like obviously the Matt Barkley year when they upset number 2 Oregon, like mm-hmm. that one, you know, rings out. But like, it has to be a time when we both matter. Mm-hmm. And right now, USC doesn't matter.
And
they have to earn that.
And there's
again.
The whole, you know, you guys broke up the Pac-12 and Oregon gets a partial share. You get a full share, but they're going to come at you because of that. Da, yeah. da, da, da.
I mean, USC's worth more money.
Oh, that'll be a fun week on the fan.
No,
sure.
It will be. You know, our now boss had a great time at that game.
I'm sure.
He had a great time. He definitely did not get carried to the bus by people.
Why are you putting him under the bus?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't put him under. We put him in the bus.
Put him in the bus.
We put him in the bus.
That's messed
I also, up. I tore a hamstring walking to that game. So, yeah.
How do you tear a hamstring walking?
Well, I was still coming off hip surgeries.
Oh, I was
and
like...
I
was like, dude, I'm fat and out of shape. I'm not tearing a hamstring walking.
Because of all the stuff that I had done, my hamstrings and quads were still super tight, and I was standing for hours and hours and hours on end because I'm a dummy. and yeah, I had my hamstring was black and blue for like 3 weeks. So super fun. Came out of that one injured. But no, I have no illusions of grandeur when it comes to this team.
Mm-hmm.
8 wins. That's what I think they're going to win this year.
That's
you counted 9. You did
potentially, yeah, potentially.
Like if they're
it's there for
win,
you.
If you're an 8 or 9 win team this year and this year only, and you run in that number one recruiting class and you build on that, and Lincoln Riley pulls his head out of his ass and actually continues recruiting and gives a damn about the defensive side of the ball, which Danton Lynn bringing him in was a massive move. They just did not have the dudes back there. The bigger problem now is one of their big offensive lineman transfers has exhausted his appeals of eligibility, and if they don't have Wingfield, that is going to be a problem for that offensive line.
Yeah, and we'll continue there. We'll put a little bow on USC and the expectations. You know, I got some questions. Is there any coach in college football that's under more pressure than Lincoln Riley? And as you start talking about this number one recruiting class, you got a returning quarterback?
Yep, in Maiava. Yep.
Who threw
two egregious pick sixes against Notre Dame when they had a chance to take the lead in that game.
It looks like the upper brass is settled, but how do you get away from losing games in the fourth quarter? How do you get away from all this pressure? We'll do that next. This is the firm of Harris and Morang, the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we got ESPN ruining all the great things for us. They're at it again. I love that I asked Brandon. I was like, why would they do that? Even Brandon was like, you're an idiot. I am an idiot. But let's finish up this USC conversation. And look, I think some of the biggest issues that stem from this, as I teased coming in, going into break, some of the biggest issues are, in my opinion, some kind of culture-esque issues. Not like players getting arrested or players, you know, drugs and alcohol. I don't mean like that. But losing 4 games in the fourth quarter. Was it 4 games last year? Losing mm-hmm. 4 games in the fourth quarter. Back-to-back pick sixes against Notre Dame. You're in games and you're losing. That's what I quite haven't seen from Lincoln Riley mm-hmm. yet. Of how to change that mentality and fix that. And that's why I think, of all the coaches in all of college football, he is under the most scrutiny this year. Maybe James Franklin number 2.
I would put Franklin 1 because they have a lot more expectation on him. But with USC, number 1, Lincoln not giving nearly enough bleeps about the defense was a huge, huge part of it. And
that's a couple of years ago, and he's changed that narrative, and he still gets stuck with that label.
No, he didn't really change it. Until,
but I mean, we haven't forgotten about
it. No, it didn't change until last year. But the problem was beyond that, they sucked at recruiting. I went down to that USC-Oregon game a couple of years ago, and seeing Caleb Williams in person, I was like, this guy is an absolute monster, and that defense is god-awful. There was, I think, 3 plays that they broke for touchdowns. Some of the worst tackling I've ever seen in college football. Just horrendous stuff. And it was just like, what? Like, that's not coaching. That's just not having dudes. And,
yeah.
And that's the problem is that you go back to the best USC teams. Everybody always has to talk about Reggie and Leinart and all the weapons they had. Yes, there's unabashedly true. One of the best defenses in the country, year after year after year.
That's the truth.
Pro Bowl,
the linebackers,
Hall of Fame
the safeties.
Linebackers and safeties.
Yeah.
Absolute monsters everywhere. Who have they put in the NFL recently on defense?
Off the top of my head, I got nobody.
There's plenty of like guys.
Sure, there's people on rosters.
There's no dudes.
Guys, yeah, dudes.
That's the problem is that they did not prioritize that, and now it looks like they finally are. You can talk like again, coaching and schemes. They matter more in football than any other sport. It's not even close. But if you don't have the Jimmys and Joes, the X's and O's don't matter. And
that's
that was
truth.
And that was the problem is that they were smelling their own farts on stuff like, oh, the offense will carry the day, da da da. And Lincoln, for all of his faults, is a brilliant offensive mind quarterback developer.
Yeah.
He's one of the best in the country at it, hands down. If you want to argue with that, go yell at a wall. That is not where he has a fault.
Go yell at a wall.
I don't want to hear it. Where he has problems is the public persona, the recruiting, keeping guys in state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the in-state stuff is huge in California.
Which now with Bowden in charge, all of a
sudden starting to come around.
Weird. Go look at all the recruits. It's Bellflower. It's Modern Day. It's all of the pipelines that have been to USC forever. Like they're restored. It's like yeah, you're in their backyard and you're USC in LA. For all of the people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. Is this they're like yes, it does.
I think what. What piques me and why I keep bringing this up is the fear of that becoming your identity no matter what's going on in the program. Like to use the term Clemsoning it, mm-hmm. Coogan it, you know, like you can build reputations really easily. You know, no quarterbacks at Iowa, they're going to win 10-6. You can build reputations like that really easy that can transcend coaches because it starts to get in people's mind. Is this a situation in which, with NIL and money pumping in, that maybe Los Angeles isn't the best place for these kids to live? Like, is that a realistic thing here?
No.
Could that be as we, even though we start to bring in larger recruits? I'm just trying to grasp at straws a little bit on figuring out how you fix the 6-6s, the missed tackling, the
better players.
Getting blown out while leading in the fourth quarter.
It's very simple. It's giving a damn about recruiting. And Lincoln Riley didn't. That's period, point blank.
Thought people would just come to him?
Not just that.
That's not the world anymore.
No, it's not just that. He just didn't give a damn about recruiting.
Is Lincoln Riley built for this world?
That's why they went out and got Bowden. Like, that's the whole point. Like, they went and got him to go, we need to bring this together. You need to give a damn. They've got Henderson on the recruiting trail, who's one of the best recruiters in the country. Like, you can go review all of the, you know, recruiting boards. He's him. He's one of those guys. He's an absolute pit bull. And the guys that they're bringing in, like bringing in Aaron Donald to come be a part of camp. Like, yeah, like that's the LA, you know, glitz and glamour stuff. Like it matters. Like
It shouldn't be about Will Ferrell and Snoop Dogg anymore.
No,
it should be about Troy Polamalu and Clay Matthews and Reggie Bush.
Yes, you need to move beyond that. And that's finally what they're doing. Like if you look at USC's recruiting class, what is it? Four of their top five recruits. You have the number three linebacker in the country, the number six, the number eight, and the number nine defensive lineman in the country.
That's
you
great.
Have three of the only recruit that rates higher is they have the number one tight end in the country. That's Trench, Trench, Trench. Like that's
where
like,
it's built.
That's where they haven't
look,
been.
Look, if college football is truly going to be the NFL light and the tier two of professional football. Starts in the trenches.
I mean, if you
that's
go,
where it's
got
to be.
If you go through their recruits that they have, let's see, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, of their top 16 recruits are top 200.
That's great. How many other places have that though?
Georgia. That's it. That's the list.
It's just Georgia. What have they ever done?
But that's what I mean. Like that's what it should be. Because you do have the history, you do have the money, you do have the power, you do have the connections, you do have the pipeline in your own backyard. There's no excuse for what happened.
The last thing we'll get to, because he came in last year and went 3-1, I believe, in the last four games. You mentioned it earlier, Lincoln Riley is a bit of a quarterback whisperer, whether it's Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts.
Caleb Williams.
You know, we've seen that from him.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the next great USC quarterback? Can he make the jump?
I think Maiava's good. He showed some stuff, but he also had some, whoa, what the hell was that?
Like, got a full offseason to work with him.
And that's the thing is he came in late, so if you want to say that that's the path, fine. But again, this year is a I look at this as a transition year. As you start to bridge towards this recruiting class and building upon it. And again, I'm going to keep hammering this point for whether it's Oregon, USC, Georgia, Alabama, it's momentum. Kalen DeBoer lost a bunch of guys at Alabama. They went, what, 9-3?
Just missed the playoff.
But
something they should have got in.
But now he's got more of his guys, and their expectations are, the momentum is building. Like that's the mark of every successful program.
Yeah, and he's in that weird spot because he had to kind of show them how to taper expectations, because you're never just going to taper expectations at Alabama, but he kind of had to show them how to do that. To where I don't think Lincoln gets the benefit of the doubt at USC.
No, because they haven't.
He's got to show them the opposite. He's got to show them why the expectations are back.
Yes. And that's why when they came in year one and did what they did, everybody was like, oh, they're back.
Yeah. And Caleb won a trophy.
So when they fall off the way that they did and just absolute skid mark on their face, hell, skid mark on their pants. it's not acceptable. But I do think he has one more year of the make or break. I don't think this is a make or, now, if he wins 7 or less, there's real problems. There's real problems.
We'll get out on this real quick just so we can have hot takes exposed. If Lincoln Riley gets fired, who would come in? Who wants that job?
Like Michigan, the list would be extensive.
Yeah.
It's again.
And Riley walks into the NFL.
He'll go be an OC somewhere.
Yeah, he'll walk into the NFL.
You make a phone call to Nick Saban, don't you?
Yeah.
I think you have to.
No, you make a call to.
Do you make a call to Herb?
Before, I will say this.
Is he too toxic?
Yes. Before they hired Lincoln, there's talk
he's
about
trying
them.
To clean up his image on TV. Yeah, he's on all the big shows.
I was starting, before they hired Lincoln, I was talking myself into Urban Meyer.
A Fox
like,
guy.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
You could talk yourself into Herb.
Not now.
Three natties could talk you into Herb.
Not now. He's too much of a dirtbag.
All right. When we come back, we'll switch over to the NFL and why ESPN is trying to ruin all the things that we love. And tomorrow we'll probably wrap up some Big Ten thoughts, and we'll start getting as we get closer and closer to the college football season and NFL right around the corner. This is the firm of Harris and Marang. But first, that big kahuna over there. That's Jeff Rust, and he's got sports for you.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
The home run stroke up. No, see, pull, stoke parlo.
Yeah! Spit on that knife.
Closing arguments here in 15 minutes. Tomorrow, we'll have a more exploratory chat about the Big Ten, kind of wrap up media days. As Lincoln Riley's at the podium right now, we'll see if he says anything. But let's take a little breather from college football. This story's come across. We've been trying to talk about this for days. We've just been kind of busy looking at some other stuff. ESPN nearing a deal to acquire NFL Red Zone. And I think it's safe to say that everybody goes, oh, no. The collective groan of what will ESPN due to Red Zone that people love and revere so much, similar to what they could do to inside the NBA.
Live, laugh, toaster bath.
Live, laugh, toaster bath?
Oh, God. Just
like live your great life, have a great laugh, and then drop the toaster in the tub.
The fact that if you're running ESPN, if you're an executive at ESPN, and this news is getting this reaction out of literally everyone. Everyone is looking at you grabbing Red Zone and going, no, you suck. We don't want you touching this.
But
that should tell you everything you need to know about where you stand right now, because no one likes you, no one trusts you, and they think you're going to screw up a very good product.
I know, but we were talking about this as you're yelling at me about getting a Twitter account. And it's like, look, you can hate and bash on things that all you want, but when you're the guy, you're still sit at the top. And I think that's why ESPN doesn't care about people's reaction to this.
But
they don't care. They're like, we're the best.
We know that.
We're still the best, and we're going to get whatever we want.
And that's the problem. It's the everything.
Who's
they see
got better NFL coverage daily? Television, classic television.
Well, nobody does because they don't have the rights.
Exactly.
That's the thing, is they have the rights. Because if I'm very interested to see where we are in a decade from now. As far as sports media world at the very top.
Well, once cable's gone.
Well, I don't think cable's ever going away, because we're kind of coming back more to it. But the Amazon's, YouTube's, of the world when they when the streaming monsters do get a hold of the daily stuff,
mm-hmm.
to your point of like cable going away.
Yeah.
I think those I think eventually we're gonna have a YouTube channel and a Amazon channel on cable. I think that's where it just ends up or they end up buying up the cable companies.
Yeah.
That's where ultimately I think
I mean I have YouTube TV.
I do too.
YouTube TV is cable.
Yeah.
It's channel surfing.
Yeah.
It's all the cable channels. It's just a cheaper way to access it.
Yeah. And even then, they're raising the prices on it. It's like, oh, yeah.
Still
so,
cheaper than cable,
no,
man.
That's why I went to it. But I don't think cable is ever going to go away. It may go away in the sense of there's not a cable going in, but like the functionality of cable, like you're talking about, like going in between apps or channel surfing,
mm-hmm.
that part of it needs the part of the ecosystem.
Here's the really big part that chaps my ass about this whole thing, is it's going to cost $30 a month.
What is?
This article I'm reading.
Oh,
the acquisition of high-profile assets such as the NFL Network, Red Zone Channel, and regular season games would earn the Disney property with more NFL-related inventory with the debut of its DTC streaming service expected this fall. While an official launch date has yet to be revealed, we know that it will cost $30 a month. I used to be able to get Red Zone for free through my YouTube TV or through your Xfinity or through however you get your cable. Now
that's
I got
an extra $10 a month.
It's an extra $10
on Xfinity. Yeah.
Oh, to get Red Zone?
To get Red Zone, yeah.
But now, that's where, they could keep it the exact same. It could be the same, you know, 13 hours or whatever.
Oh,
that
and by
dude,
the way, also,
know.
they don't stop charging you during the off season. It's $10 every month.
You're paying for Red Zone,
yeah.
That you don't even get anymore. And they probably know how to close that gap so you don't just cancel it and bring it back.
Well, they're like, well, you know, you can just, cancel it at the end of the season and start it back up.
Because we all remember to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to get right on that.
But if they keep it the same of Red Zone that we know and love, or Red Zone that has been built to what, I mean the collective we, don't look at me like that.
Well, I'm looking at you like that. Like, you think ESPN's just going to buy this and let it sit alone? The only reason they did that with McAfee is because McAfee wouldn't come along without it. The NFL doesn't care. The NFL doesn't care. Are you kidding me? You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Stephen A. Smith is going to be on that freaking show.
Oh, no way.
Oh.
They
I'll take bets on it right now. I'll take bets on it right now. He's going to be on the show.
They can't do that.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And they will.
That voice has to be the loudest voice right now going of the public. It's less Stephen A.
Yes.
How do you do that?
It's not only less Stephen A. It's less Kendrick. It's so funny that ESPN, when they were at their heyday and they got all mad about, was that the personalities reigned. Whether it was Stu Scott or Rich Eisen or Dan Patrick, any of them.
Charlie Steiner.
Any of them.
My guy.
When they were in their heyday, and now they're more personality driven than they've ever been, with worse personalities.
Yeah, and they're betting on the worst personalities that they have.
And it's like, what are you like? You
also
went
their
away
personality.
From this.
Their personalities are all NBA, and their NBAs are garbage.
I don't.
If they ran McAfee out there for everything, I might understand that a little better. You run McAfee out there for everything, I'd understand that a little better.
Oh, look, McAfee. But look, if they get Red Zone, I guarantee McAfee makes an appearance.
I bet you people would love it.
It'd be totally fine.
I bet you people would love it.
And hell, you know,
I don't want a basketball guy talking to me about football, just like I don't want a baseball guy talking to me about basketball.
It's just,
and I don't want a football guy talking to me about baseball.
It's so very, like, somebody brought in, the Raiders. The Raiders are bringing in Baron Davis on their studio show, and I was like,
I'm not interested in that.
Look, I get it. You were in Oakland when the Warriors were there, and you were a Raiders guy when you were there, and all those kind of things. I'm like, I'm glad that you're a Raiders fan. That's dope. But, like, I love Dame. Dame is a Raiders.
I don't need to hear Dame talk to me about the Timbers match tomorrow.
No, I don't want Dame talking to me on Raiders about the TV. Like, we can have our conversation about how the Raiders are back, and we can joke and we can laugh and all those kind of
those
things.
Those are the conversations you have with a friend.
Yeah,
like you know me as a baseball guy, or like a lot of my friends know me as a baseball guy. If you want to talk football with me, well, we'll talk football, but I should not be on television talking about football at all times.
No.
That's the benefit of this great show that we have on radio. We kind of go wherever we want. And you can be a man of many, a lesser of none, whatever that statement is.
Yeah.
And you can make that work.
Look, when I was in the Air Force, I got a coin that said jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. That's the phrase I was looking
for. That was literally, so when you go through operations intelligence school, when you graduate, you get a coin, jack of all trades, master of none. because we study every discipline in intelligence, whether it's open source, image intelligence, MASINT, which is machinery. Like, there's all these different branches of it, but we don't specialize in any one thing.
That's
the whole part of it. It's like, but if you're going to talk about one specific thing for 7 hours, like Red Zone,
you better know what the hell you're talking
not
about.
Not only that, like, I can never, the guy that does Red Zone, that's incredible. I'm totally blanking on his name. Never takes a pee break. He's an absolute monster.
Scott Hanson.
Thank you.
I knew that.
I was like, I knew it was Hanson, the you know, same name as, was it, To Catch a Predator? So I'm like, no, that's not him. different guy.
That'd be awesome if it was the same guy.
Yeah.
Like Michelin, tires and food.
There you go.
I think that was Chris Hanson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch a Predator. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's
Catch a Predator and catch a touchdown.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
You know. Or, you know, Deshaun Watson's case, both.
It kind of reminds me of, I always tell people, I'm really
Thank you, Rusty. He didn't even give me a courtesy giggle.
I stopped listening.
Yeah, you monster.
I was thinking about myself.
There you go.
I always tell people I am very good at a lot of things that just don't pay very well.
It happens.
But hey, I got that big radio money
now.
Big time radio money. Big time radio money. One day I'm going to catch Buckley.
There you go.
One day I'm going to catch Buckley.
Old ride guy from the Bay.
Also, the last thing I'll say about this real quick, reading the article, look, awful announcing, like, I love you because you guys expose stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In their article, they quoted somebody, and it was like, this deal is at the 5-yard line. It's like, oh, God, just no. I can't handle the bad puns.
There you go.
Look, they're dad jokes, mm-hmm. and I live for dad jokes.
Are we Bush pushing this thing, or are we going to Seahawks this thing?
I can't.
Sorry, Seahawks fans.
I can't. I'm down with dad jokes, but I just cannot bad puns. Mm. Like, sometimes I'll go, hey, I see what you did there. But if you put it on print, I hate it.
Yeah,
it has to be delivery only.
Okay. I would say, because otherwise, you know, the guy on the other side of the glass is going to come through and kill you.
No, we're homies.
He's master of the bad pun.
We're good.
He's
but
not,
see, he's saying it. It's not an article.
He's not listening right
I don't
now.
Have to read it.
Great.
I don't want to read it.
If you're watching on YouTube, you just saw Jeff Russ just full on squirrel.
We're only on the 2-shot.
There you go. Yeah. No, perfect.
Huh? Huh? I don't have to worry about
what?
It.
What did I miss?
No.
All right, we'll get out of here. Closing arguments are next. The Firm of Harris and Morang on 105.1 The Fan.
It's time for Easy Play, brought to you by HomeZ, making home improvement easy.
Second and third, nobody out. Out towards the alleyway, left center field of Rosarena, chasing after it, and it short hops the wall. This will bring them both in. Collins and Black score. 3 straight hits, including a 2-run double from Blake Perkins. The Brewers have an early lead.
Courtesy of Root Sports, Blake Perkins' 2-run double off Luis Castillo started him off for the Brewers, and they never looked back. Castillo, rough outing, 5 innings, 10 hits, 6 runs, 3 of them earned. They start a 4-game set at the Angels tonight.
It's always weird, number one, you call them the Brewers. They were not the Brewers last night.
The Brewers. Did I say Brewers?
I said Brewers the first time, but it's okay. They weren't the Brewers last night. They actually
Blake
won.
Blake and the Brewers.
Yeah, it happens. But it's always weird when you see a 7 strikeout, no walk performance that also gets shells. Like, well, he was in the strike zone.
Hey, they just found him in the strike zone. This Easy Play brought to you by HomeZ. Use HomeZ's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call HomeZ. That's HOMZE, HomeZ.com.
The Firm of Harris and Morang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth!
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
What the hell is the meaning of this, you bastard?
Closing arguments here every single day at 12:45. Coming up next, you'll get bonus happy hour with Luke Anderson from 1 to 2, and then normal happy hour from 2 to 3. I never thought I'd be excited about extra happy hour. More excuses to drink in the afternoon.
That's what you need.
Sounds excellent. You know what's funny? I've actually... This week, I've actually kind of calmed down on the boozing.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, there was one outlier. Monday night was a little bit of an outlier. Monday night was a little bit. I went to a concert with the best friend.
Okay.
Like that, you kind of know. But I've been trying to take it a little easy.
Look, I went 3+ years without having any incidents. Like, you know, the workplace mishaps. I was at you know, 1,000 days before I came back from Vegas.
Yeah.
That was.
I thought you were about to say I went 3.5 years sober, and it's like I'm no.
No. But I mean, other than the golf tournament, I don't typically drink. It's not that I have like this big thing against it. I just don't. Like, I don't drink at home. I don't just like crack a beer or make a drink or whatever. I just don't. It's just not my go-to.
Yeah.
Everybody's always like, you know, I lost weight. I cut out the alcohol. And I'm like,
I'm trying to cut down on the beer.
I can't just cut that out because that's already cut out.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut out the beer.
I need to cut out the chips and salsa or the pita chips and hummus.
Because if I'm drinking beer, man, it's like five beers. That's like 2,600 calories of beer.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because it's all craft and fancy.
Yeah, just loaded with carbs.
Is anybody else wondering why this Justin Fields situation is such a GD big deal? Is he going to make the board? Am I going to go put Justin Fields on the board behind me?
Adam Schefter, cart off the field. It's like, oh, what are we doing here? He has a dislocated toe because somebody stepped on it. Like, I see the alert and I'm just like, number one, it's Justin Fields. I don't think he's any good anyways.
I don't think the Jets are going to be any good.
Like, what do you have, five passing touchdowns last year?
I have no idea.
I believe that's what I heard them say this morning on our favorite morning show.
It's like,
Colin?
I have never ever been a Justin Fields guy, and honestly, CJ Stroud is the first like Ohio State quarterback right I full on ate crow about, because I was like, prove it to me. Ohio State quarterbacks are not good in the NFL.
Traditionally, no.
But Stroud's
love CJ.
Yeah, no, and like when he started just diming it up, I was like, this guy's got the goods. Okay, I'm cool. I'm in. It was like a lot like Duke first rounders, like top three picks for a long time. I was like, nope. And then you had Kyrie and Tatum, and I'm like, well, those guys are pretty good. So
I think Coop's going to be okay too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There was a transition period where I was like, like everybody's really high on Ingram, and I was like, and I'm not an Ingram guy.
I was really high on Ingram.
Yeah, not my Huckleberry.
You know who I was really high on? What was his name? He played for Minnesota.
Jabari Walker's. Oh, you're talking about in the NBA.
Yeah, Duke guy.
Yeah, Jabari Parker. Yeah, no.
Yeah, is that him? And then his knees went out.
Yeah, him and Wiggins were the guys. And of those two guys, I liked Parker better than
I loved him. I loved him at Duke so much.
Dust.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that this is getting coverage. You know, I was kind of more laughing about it. The reality is this is getting coverage because how dare we think of anything else to talk about than an NFL story that means nothing.
Plus, well, it's also a New York team.
If you bring up Justin Fields, you know, and if he can't play, New York needs a starter. Maybe they should have stuck with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, look,
Colin.
Look, if you want to work some Rodgers in here real quick, he's still at 42, a significantly better quarterback.
No, Justin Fields. It's on the board behind me. We can't do this.
I'm just saying. Justin Fields is not a good quarterback. Like, in the fact that you were actively pursuing Justin Fields over, like, literally any other option, I'm just like, that tells you everything you need to know about the Jets.
Yeah,
and
but
God bless you, Aaron Glenn. I think you're going to be a good coach. I think you made a terrible move going to the Jets.
But it also tells you everything you need to know about ESPN. It's just NFL. NFL's key.
Not just that. It's NFL in New York.
Well, and it's the way that this story that Schefter blew it up too, saying he was carted off the field. Well, no,
there's like five tweets about it.
He limped off the field over into the injury tent and was in there for a few minutes. Then he hopped on the cart and rode to the facility, but then walked into the facility.
He got a ride in a cart.
Yes. Yeah.
He got a ride in a cart.
Yeah. Carted off the field means leg no working.
Like, yeah, ACL. Achilles.
At first, didn't he say lower leg injury?
Yeah. It's like,
yes. So, yeah, you think ACL, Achilles.
Yeah.
I thought knee. Yeah. I thought somewhere in the knee.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the
dislocated toe.
He bootlegged out and planted wrong and his knee shredded. Like, that's what I think. And then it's toe. And it's like, it's not even just toe. It's not even big toe. They even specified non-big toe. And they're like, they're out for like, he's going to be out day to day, was the announcement from Aaron Glenn.
One of the little toes? Not even the big one?
Look, if it's not a big toe or a pinky toe, if it's an in-between toe, you don't even need it. You don't even need it.
We're ranking toes right now.
Look, man, pinky toe is huge for balance.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Without the pinky toe, you just fall over?
Yeah.
I've broken it a couple times.
I told you, my pinky toes, they do this independently.
Well, each of mine, I'm missing a joint in each of my pinky toes, so they kind of stick up like a... almost like, you know, if you're drinking fancy tea, right? Pinkies out.
Pinkies out.
Yeah, so my like, literally, when I'm standing, I can bend over and place my finger between the ground and the bottom of my toe and not touch my toe.
I don't know where you're going with that, where you're putting your fingers when you bend over.
Look, my toe.
Look, pinky fingers, because of the hand damage that I have, if you ever watch on YouTube, if you ever watch when I drink it or anything, my pinky comes off my drink. And it's not because I'm fancy. It's because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I have damage in my hand, and it, like, I literally, I have to force my pinky down to, even then, it pops. Yeah, it literally pops back, as I'm sitting here, it pops back up. It's very frustrating.
Both of my pinky fingers, too, we have a family trait on my mom's side. It has affected all of us. Both of my pinky fingers, they're crooked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they have, my kids have it, my brother has it, my mom has it, my aunts.
Mine zigzags because of damage.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like one dominant trait from one side of my mom's family.
I didn't know the outward pinky was a genetic trait thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's one of those ones when you get the 23andMe, like it lists like a bajillion things of all the traits and stuff like that, and freckles and hair and the ring finger longer than index finger, which I have.
I'm still thinking about without pinky toes, do you just fall over? Now, I have extremely flat feet. I like to think that would give me more balance.
Maybe. I don't know. We can ask Dion. He's missing two. Or he's missing
would
two
you
toes.
Walk like a penguin? You
probably have to turn the foot out a little bit. But yeah, no, I remember talking to podiatrist about this.
Is Dion missing a pinky toe?
He lost his two outside toes.
How?
He
almost died.
Yeah, he had the severe
when
damage
they almost,
to his feet.
When they almost decapitated his leg.
Yeah.
Can you say that? Is decapitated just your head?
It's because decapitated.
Amputated.
It's amputated.
Amputated.
Yeah. LeVar Ball lost the whole foot.
I promise I'm not that stupid.
Hey, WSU legend. LeVar Ball.
Average 4.5.
There you go.
Is that points or minutes? Mm. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Don't ever lump that man with me.
No. Look, you guys took him in.
This is the 80s.
Hey, look.
A lot of weird stuff
Huskies
going on in the 80s.
Huskies have a serial killer. You've got LeVar Ball.
Dusty's heroes are all from the 80s. Weird time in the 80s. Weird time in the 80s.
Yeah, like Hulk Hogan. Before he was a racist.
Oh, from start to finish, Hulk Hogan.
Well, I mean, I have a feeling he probably always was.
I know.
I don't know, man. It sounds like these days old people they turn real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their final heel turn. It's like John Cena's career. The final turn at the end is heel life.
Well, I mean,
and
he
that's
did
where
have,
he is.
He did have Nikki Bella sign a 75-page document for cohabitation.
That's super strange.
I mean, is it though? Because we've heard about there's
cohabitation with your partner.
Well, there's one NFL player who broke up with his girlfriend and she wouldn't leave the house. I can't remember who it was, but he ended up calling the cops and having her arrested.
Yeah, but I think there was also some battery situation going on in
no,
there.
No. The one I'm talking about, she was crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, some weird verbal.
No. Like she was. It ended up coming out. The whole case went through. She was nuts. Like
certified.
Oh yeah, she was cuckoo, and it was like she hit him. Like that's where it was, and he was like, "No, you gotta go." I can't remember who it was, but yeah, it was just like. So yeah, yeah. If you're got crazy money, which John Cena's got crazy money. I get it. Like it sounds weird because we aren't worth probably $1 billion, but yeah, I get it.
I was thinking about this the other day. John Cena, in the next 10 years, John Cena will be nominated for an Academy Award.
I don't know, man.
When he gets out of wrestling, someone's going to find it. It's like Dave Bautista in 10 years will win an Academy Award.
Didn't he say he's done acting?
No.
I thought he said he was done acting.
Please, I love him.
Look, John Cena, have you seen Peacemaker?
No.
Oh, buddy.
There's a new John Cena movie coming out, isn't there?
Forget the movie. Him as Peacemaker. Banger. Banger.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, we'll kind of talk a little bit overall Big Ten versus SEC. We'll have a little conversation and kind of polish up Big Ten Media Days. We'll check in to see if anybody had anything fun to say. We'll have Uncomfortable Word of the Day on Friday. I think we were supposed to do it today, but we're moving some stuff around. Yeah. Web gems as usual, and we'll just kind of work our way into the weekend. Happy Hour with Luke Anderson is next. For Danny Morang, thank you again, Jeff. Excellent job today. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
Bye.